This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, talking about the Phillies. Big win last night. Have we been too hard on the Phillies? And also, the big news of the day, Dallas Goedert returning on a restructured contract with the Eagles. Big question remaining this offseason has finally been resolved. Dallas Goedert will be back, and now joining us to talk about all of it, we bring in 94 WIP's Eagles reporter and Eagles Insider of the Year, Elliot Shore Parks joins us now. What's up, Elliot?
Man, I mean, I feel like I don't even need to ask, but Hugh,
yes.
I mean, come on, that's a banger right there, right?
No, that's like the one.
I mean, yeah, I know you are loving that one.
I know
yeah.
This one. It's because I remember it's the meme. Every time the 1st of May, he's always on.
Exactly
I
did, right.
Yeah, yep. I knew that one.
JT?
That's Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's in sync, but yeah, it is Justin Timberlake.
Wait a minute, he's
yeah.
a part of Justin Timberlake is part of in sync, right?
Yep. Right. I'm just saying it's a NSYNC song.
My bad.
Yeah, just to give him. I don't want you to be out in the streets saying the wrong name and get embarrassed.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, exactly.
He's from Memphis. That's how I know Justin.
Elliot, I got to ask you the big question back in the day. You know, we're around the same age, but what was your favorite, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? Which one did you gravitate to more?
Well, it's hard to answer this shortly, but I guess I would say I was team NSYNC, but I think now Backstreet Boys have aged better.
Way better.
Yeah.
You know what, Elliot? I just remembered. The last time you was here, your wedding song, the lyrics are
a little risque.
Well,
a little risque.
Different. It's,
yeah.
The lyrics are like, I listen to the lyrics. Yeah, it's a lot going on. It's a lot going on with that.
Yeah. So it's a party song. I like to have fun with the
Yeah, okay,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the
Eagles. There you go. Elliot Shore Parks, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. And Elliot, big news of the day. Dallas Goedert coming back to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Restructured deal. First off, just your thoughts and how big this is for the team to be able to get this done.
Yeah, I think it's a massive win for the Eagles. It's a win for Dallas Goedert. The money, Field Yates of ESPN is reporting, he gets $10 million. He was due $14 million. So look, $4 million less, I'm not going to completely dismiss that. But there were times this offseason where I thought he was maybe going to lose way more than that. So the fact that he ends up with $10 million, he gets to stay in Philadelphia. He doesn't have to uproot his life, go to another team, learn a new playbook. So I think it's a win for him as well. But I would say my main takeaway from this is I feel like so much of this offseason, we've talked about all the moves they've made. The year 2026 is talked about a lot, right? Like, here's why they traded Chauncey, because they have to sign guys in 2026. Like, Jahad Campbell might be injured to start the year, but, you know, this is about the future. Dallas Goedert, to me, is the first move this offseason that is strictly about 2025 and making sure they're good this year. So I think it's a move fans should be really excited about.
So this is a straight pay cut. There was no signing bonus involved. Well, I know that the details are still coming out about this.
Yeah.
So is that what it feels like, Elliot? Is it more of a...
Yeah, I think
just a straight pay cut.
Yeah, he took a pay cut. Now again, the $10 million he was originally due $14 million in cash this year.
Uh-huh.
So now it, according to Field Yates, he's going to get $10 million plus potentially another million in incentives. So, you know, again, I'm not in a position to dismiss $4 million, but that is a decent portion of what he was supposed to get. But, you know, Josh Sweat comes up a lot when people talk about this because Josh mm-hmm. Sweat did something similar last year. He ended up cashing in big time this offseason. I view it a little differently. apparently. Like, Josh Sweat got to be the number one edge rusher on the defense. Dallas Goedert is going to start at tight end, but he is going to be probably the fifth option on offense when you consider AJ, Devontae, Saquon, and then, let's be honest, Jalen Hurts runs the ball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I think Goedert, you know, maybe he has that big year and maybe he cashes in next offseason, but I think this is more of a true pay cut, whereas Josh Sweat, I think, did have the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, thinking like, okay, I could actually cash in here.
Now, Elliot, one of the things Jeffrey Lurie talked about when he was on with the morning show on BG Day was the culture of the organization and people wanting to be here, wanting to play here. Let's assume Dallas Goedert may have had the option to get released, go somewhere else. What does it say about the Eagles' culture that he's willing to take a pay cut and come back here and try to run it back, even when, like you said, he's the fifth option? If he could have gone somewhere else, been a second, third option, what does that say about the culture here?
Yeah, so, you know, I think Dallas wanted to stay here. I think that was always his first option. And I do think if, you know, he was playing for, I don't know, the Carolina Panthers, like maybe he is more open to moving elsewhere. But I would also maybe frame it a little differently than you did. I don't think this is him willing to take a pay cut, or this is him like taking less money to stay with the Eagles. My guess is the $10 million he got from the Eagles is probably what other teams are willing to pay him. And the Eagles essentially decided to match it. Like maybe there's a slight financial difference. Maybe, who knows, like just to pick a team, like the Colts are willing to give him $11 million instead of $10 million. But I think this is not like him willingly taking a pay cut because he loves it so much here. I think this is Goedert went out into the open market, didn't find the money he wanted, and this is the best deal he could get. And it also happens to be with the Eagles.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Elliot, the other big news in the NFC East in the last 24 hours, Cowboys trade for George Pickens from the Steelers. What do you think about that move, and how worried should Eagles fans be about the Cowboys landing George Pickens?
So I think George Pickens is a great wide receiver. I think he poses matchup problems. He makes big plays down the field. Like, I really like the trade for the Cowboys. The only negative I would say from Dallas's perspective, and thus a positive for the Eagles, is that whole Dallas situation seems very combustible right now. Micah Parsons wants a new contract. George Pickens wants a new contract. Dak Prescott's coming off an injury. They have a rookie head coach who they promoted from within. Like, I think that whole situation is not great. And so to add someone in George Pickens, who, let's be honest, the Steelers clearly wanted out of the building if they traded him for what they did, you just wonder from a culture perspective how all that's going to work together. So I think as a player, like, yeah, he'll cause problems for the Eagles when the ball is snapped. But I think more of the potential issue for the Cowboys would be like Monday through Saturday, and how do things work out in that locker room.
Yeah, and when you look at the Eagles secondary situation now, Elliot, when you look at the corner on the other side of Quinyon Mitchell, obviously that's the guy who's likely to be guarding George Pickens in a matchup with the Cowboys. Who do you think's likely to be in that role, and do you think there's a possibility Cooper DeJean gets bumped outside?
I don't. I think Cooper, I guess it depends on the defensive package they're playing. If there's only two cornerbacks on the field, I think Cooper and Quinyon will be those two corners. But I think when they play three, which, let's be honest, is going to be the vast majority of times, you'll see Cooper on the inside. So then on the outside, as of right now, it's Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson battling out for that job. But I think, you know, and the Goedert move in a way kind of signifies this. Like, the Eagles are going to, I know they haven't had a super exciting offseason yet. This Goedert move is probably the first like real exciting move for fans. But they will make trades if they think the guys in training camp are not getting the job done. They have, I think it's something like 12 draft picks in 2026 when you include compensatory picks. So it'll be Kelee Ringo and Adoree battling it out. But if they get 2 weeks into training camp and Vic doesn't like what he sees, they will go out and make a trade because they certainly have the draft capital to do it.
I'm kind of curious, what do you think about Tyler Booker when he came out for the Dallas Cowboys and talked about how he can't wait to go up against Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter's been
the guard.
Yeah, the guard. Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I think if the Eagles drafted that player and he said he can't wait to go up against Micah Parsons, I think fans here would love it. He's a player I actually liked for the Eagles coming into this draft. You read about him in Alabama and just like the attitude he had, you can already see that. I think in my experience, like, the best offensive linemen have personality. The ones I've covered that maybe don't have the best personality are kind of dull, like never seem to pan out. So I like that attitude from him. I would just maybe do a little it'll be careful what you wish for, because Jalen Carter is pretty good. And as a rookie, I think that's a tough matchup for him.
Now, one more for you here, Elliot. I know you're a big fashion guy. Need you to grade Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, their looks at the Met Gala the other night. What did you think?
Yeah, so I would say Saquon's I was underwhelmed by. It was kind of basic. It wasn't like, I think at the Met Gala, you have to go and stand out and do something a little flashy. So I was expecting more from Saquon. I feel like he has more in the bag than he let out there. So a little disappointed in just like the classic black tux that he wore. Jalen went a similar angle, I think. Like he didn't exactly show up with, you know, a piano on his back or whatever like some people did. But I like the diamonds on the blazer were a nice touch. The hat added a little something. Obviously, you know, him and his wife looked fantastic together. I think that added to the whole kind of aura. But yeah, I mean, I've said on the station for a few months, like, I don't think the city appreciates what a massive star Jalen Hurts is. And I think him being at the Met Gala showed that.
What do you think about Hugh going to the Met Gala next year?
Yeah, I'm trying to make it happen.
I mean, look, here's what I'd say about Hugh, which I would respect a lot about Hugh in this. I think people go to the Met Gala and try to conform to the Met Gala. I think Hugh would just wear what Hugh wants to wear, right? Like, I don't think Hugh is trying to impress people. Now, you might naturally, because you have, you know, that natural swag about you. But I think you could pull it off. I think you'd be a popular guy.
I feel like he's not getting invited back, though, if he does that.
Yeah, I'm going to do. Yeah, I'm.
Well, you only want to go once. That's true. You only want to go once.
I'll probably be in the theme of it. Once I figure out what the theme is, but yeah.
You would go theme? Like, I picture you more just wearing what you want to wear.
Well, hopefully, because this was a pretty interesting thing. Once I went home and I kind of read about it, the dandy era.
And how, is that like, what the theme was?
Yeah, okay. It was like the zoot suits, the color combinations. Like, black was the palette. But I like how a lot of some of the individuals played off of the palette. Mm.
Well, I'll say this. If you do get an invite, I'm not going to ask you to bring me as your date, but like I will definitely help you if you would like.
Yeah,
some
fashion,
my fashion
sense,
it.
You know.
Exactly.
If we went together, you know, people are going to talk. They're going to be
wondering. That would be great, though. You two together at the Met Gala would be the perfect combination.
Interracial couple.
Well, you look, Hugh, people talk about me anyway, so it's nothing new. We'll just get to go to the Met Gala together. Yeah, exactly right.
Just hang out. That we can do that.
Well, there you go. Well, Elliot Shore Parks, 94 WIP Eagles reporter. Elliot, thanks for hopping on, man.
Yep. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. So there was Elliot Shore Parks talking about the Eagles and Dallas Goedert situation. You guys may be doing a little date at the Met Gala.
It all depends, man. I mean, I'm comfortable with my manhood. You know, as a matter of fact, me and Spike are running around here making movie dates. You know, Spike's not too far from me now. We talked about having movie dates. So yeah,
is that right? You and Spike are going to catch a couple films together.
We catch some films. Like, you know, I have this thing where I don't like going to the movies by myself.
You guys going to share popcorn and soda?
No, we definitely don't do that.
Oh, come on.
We definitely don't do that. But this was kind of weird. The one time that me and Spike did go to the movies, Spike, we sat right next to each other, which was a little, you know, I mean, you know. So I'm assuming how it's going to go. So he paid for the tickets last time. So the next movie that we decide to go to, I have to pay for the tickets. And I'm going to make sure that there's a seat between the two. But then again, if I do that, there's a good chance that I might get that one individual that buys that one seat in between us and kind of throws it off. So,
do you go to a lot of movies, Hugh?
No, but I feel like this summer with a lot of movies coming out, because he mentioned it, that there's going to be a lot that we want to see. So we'll probably sit down and we'll probably critique some of the movies. Because we saw Sinners. We didn't see it together, but we saw Sinners and we compared notes on Sinners. So,
I took my son to the Minecraft movie a couple weeks ago.
I heard that was phenomenal.
How would you rate it, TK?
It stunk. I mean,
it's not for TK.
It's for kids.
You're not a Minecraft
for kids,
guy?
It's cool, but the plot didn't make any sense. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I find it difficult I would find it difficult to make a movie about a video game.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was basically, you know, Jack Black and Jason Momoa just acting crazy. And
that's
then
what
these
Doom
weird
was about, a video game.
Well, so I guess I should say this. A game that's more of a...
Like a building game.
I guess video games with a plot, sure. I can see that. But, like, Minecraft doesn't have a plot. You just build stuff.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, it was a weird movie. But it was a way to, you know, kill a few hours.
Sure,
my son.
Right. And if your son likes it, that's all that matters. You know, you're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Got to make sacrifices.
Yeah. And it's kind of easy taking the kid to the movies.
Sure.
You know, just sit there for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Eat some popcorn. Yeah.
Now, does he behave himself in the movie?
Yeah, my son, like, loves
TV and good. Stuff like that. So nice. He was good. Cool. So that was it was a good time.
Do you behave yourself in the movies?
Yes, I did. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, things we're talking about today with the Phillies. Have we been too hard on the Phillies in the first part of the year? I think we have. Hugh thinks we have, does not think we have been too hard on the Phillies. And then the big news of the day, if you're just joining us, Dallas Goedert returning to the Eagles, restructures his deal. And this is a straight pay cut. Goes from 14.25 million down to about $10 million, $1 million in incentives. But the important part, Dallas Goedert returning, so the Eagles offense largely staying intact. And again, I think it's a great move. I look at Dallas Goedert when he's on the field. I know he deals with injuries sometimes, but when he's on the field, he's a top five tight end in football, and it would have been a really difficult guy to replace. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, TK. Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. First of all, I wanted to say I don't appreciate Elliot giving out my answer, man. Andre 3000?
Yeah. You got
100%,
it.
100%, man.
I paid attention to the Met, man. I paid attention to the Met, and I felt like an outrageous outfit he had on.
That was the one I was going
no
with.
I ain't wearing no piano, Hill. I ain't wearing no piano, man.
No, but that's right in line with what Andre 3000 is, man. You know, that's what he does, and that's why I'm a big fan of Outkast.
Wasn't it supposed to be like a metaphor that he's carrying the music industry on his back? That's what I was told, at least.
See, I didn't know that.
You're a very cultured guy.
I thought it was harkening back to when people with movers come in and they would have a piano.
I don't know. Justin D'Orazio told me that, so maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but... Yeah, it was an interesting outfit for sure.
Explain more.
I don't know.
What more do you know?
I gave you what I had. That's it.
Navigation started.
Uh-oh, where are you going?
All right, guys. Yeah. I want to touch on the Phillies and Goddard a little bit. For the Phillies, I told Kyle, I don't feel like we have been hard on these guys because we know what they're going to do during the regular season. We know they're going to push for the mega playoff spot. We know this. My thing is, the reason we stay hard on these guys, and TK, I heard you were talking about last year. It's not just last year. It's a year before that and a year before that. The collapses. We know they get on these hot streaks. My thing with the Philadelphia Phillies is I want to see consistency hitting the baseball. I want to see it hitting in clutch spots like these other teams do coming down the stretch or going through the playoffs. The regular season don't really concern me because we know Topper and we know these guys are going to push to make the playoffs. My thing with these guys, why I stay on these guys, because what you're going to do, like how Hulk Hogan says, what you going to do, brother, when the playoffs comes and the intensity comes and these other teams want it more? What are you going to do? I want to know what you guys are going to do.
But this is the thing, Terrence. There's nothing they can do about that right now. Like, we'll see what the Phillies do when the playoffs come around. But in May, there's nothing they can do to show us they're going to be better in the postseason.
But, TK, one thing before I get on the Goddard thing, there's no matter of fact that they're going to make the playoffs. There's no matter of fact that they're going to going to lose a streak or going to win a streak. We don't know right now. We don't know how the schedule is going to go. We don't know about injuries. We don't know. That's why I say in the past seasons, you got to take advantage of your spots when you have a chance to succeed in these playoffs. As for Dallas Goedert, I feel like this is a big signing. I feel like that Howie was playing chicken for a while, and I feel like Howie won. He won it. But it's big because Dallas Goedert, he not only pass blocks and open up those big runs for Saquon, but he takes away the double team from AJ and Devontae. Mm. He brings the physicality to the offense that we don't have, that Clint Calcaterra don't have. And you know the other DBs we saw in the playoffs, they don't really want to tackle this guy. He's big. And the thing about Dodd's guy getting hurt is I feel like if they get this guy, make him drink more milk and get him some vitamins for them bones, guy to be all right, man. So I feel like it's a big signing. He's a vocal point to our offense, man. And I'm all for it, man. Bring my guy Goddard back.
But he here. He's definitely back now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and appreciate the call, Terrence, and congratulations on winning Hugh's Clues. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the Dallas Goedert situation, and I do think that we underrate Dallas Goedert a lot. I think we underrate the things that he brings to the table in terms of, like Terrence
said. Healthy.
When he's healthy, taking detention away from Devontae and A.J. Brown. And the injury stuff, I don't worry about it as much because it's never like a season-ending type thing, it feels like. It feels like he'll miss 3, 4, 5 games throughout the course of the year, but it feels like in the postseason he's always there, and you can survive without him for a few games here and there.
Yeah, but your biggest asset in the NFL is your availability availability, and a lot of times do not clip that off. A lot of times it's your availability, and when you're not out there, man, it just makes it tough. Oh yeah, and I found out what the piano meant.
Oh, what did it mean?
He dropped an album. It's called Piano Sketches.
Oh, so I was wrong.
Yeah, he dropped seven songs. Seven piano sketches, so he dropped an album.
It's a good thing you blamed Justin for that information beforehand.
Yeah. That was Justin. That wasn't me.
You've washed your hands of that entirely.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I did. I'm like,
way to throw him under the bus.
I just heard this. I don't know it. So I'm going to blame the person that told me. So Justin DeRozio, producer here at WIP. Thanks a lot, Justin, for getting it wrong and making me sound like an idiot.
First and last.
Yeah, well, that's his fault. I mean, come on. Come with the right information. I was on the other night. He comes on. I'm talking to him on the air. He very confidently says it's a metaphor for carrying the music industry on his back.
Nah,
he was dead wrong about it.
He dropped an EP.
Yeah.
And they're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, Hug, for doing that, yes. That research.
I'm here for you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Josh in Atlanta. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are y'all this afternoon?
What's going on, Josh?
Man, I am having a wonderful day. I'll tell you why I love Dallas Goedert staying with the Eagles. Number one, when we drafted him as a potential replacement for Zach Ertz, he definitely showed that he had the talent. Though he has an injury bug, every time we have him on the field, he's very serviceable, mm-hmm. and he really does have that dog in him when he's on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, he's a really, really talented player, and we saw it during the playoffs. I thought specifically the Packers and the Rams games, he was really important to the Eagles in those games.
Absolutely. One of my friends is a Packers fan. I sent him that highlight for weeks. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I have a theory, because if I may I make a comment about the defense of the Eagles?
Go for it. Make your comment.
Perfect. So the defense has so much rotation, and I love the way that they worked with the draft, right? And I think there's a part of me that thinks that they want to make some money to see if they can get somebody on a veteran minimum. And my theory is Justin Simmons, because he mentioned that he loves playing for Vic Fangio. If we can make that happen, I think that would be a wonderful move.
Justin been out there for a while, though, right? That dog probably ain't going to hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been out there for a while, because you want to at least, Josh, bring in guys like before training camp start to get he probably knows the system, to your point.
There's still time.
Yeah, right? But I don't know. I doubt it. Unless somebody gets hurt. Now, if somebody gets hurt or somebody doesn't pan out, then maybe.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Appreciate it. And that's the thing. Justin Simmons, his name has been rumored around the Eagles. It feels like forever, mm-hmm. for like 2 years now. But I don't know. You look at all the guys they got there. I think they like Sidney Brown enough to where he's going to be on the roster. They draft Andrew Mukuba. They've got Tristan McCollum, a guy they've been developing over the last couple of years. Like you said, Hugh, it just feels like if Justin Simmons was going to happen, it would have happened.
Yeah. By now. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. You just never know.
I mean, he got a lot of depth there, and I don't know. I don't think C.J. Gardner-Johnson is as big a loss as some have made it out to be. Like, I think obviously he brings a mentality, brings an edge, but he got beat in coverage a lot.
Yeah, the juice wasn't working. I think with him chirping the way that he was, not trying to just, you know, talk bad about him, but I think that he was chirping at the wrong time, and they just said, you know what, fine, we'll let you go.
I guess to me it just felt a little bit drastic. Like, he was under contract still for what, 2 more years?
They had him for a while.
It was just an unnecessary hole to create on the roster.
It was, but I feel like something happened between that, the Super Bowl, and the end of the season. Well, it's the end of the season, Super Bowl. But you know what I mean. Well, like, something happened where, you know, it just, the timing to me was odd. The Saquon Barkley signing, and then all of a sudden they move on from him.
And this is the thing with CJ. Like, I do think the majority of the move was financially motivated. I think they were trying to get ahead of some of these contracts they were going to have to pay to the younger players. But it can't be ignored, the fact that, what, he's been on a different team 5 years in a row now? I think, not that he's like a bad guy or anything, but I do think he has a personality that can maybe wear on teams a little bit. And like you said, I mean, if other guys are getting paid and he wants a new deal, that may have not been a healthy situation.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know? And I think they just decided, that if that was the case, just move on.
Yeah, agreed. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Have we been too hard on the Phillies? Hugh doesn't think so. I think they're being underrated right now by the fan base. You can react to the Dallas Goedert news as well. Plus, more from Dave Dombrowski yesterday on the pregame show with Murph about some of the players down in the minors, how he thinks they've been playing lately. What does the future hold for some of these minor leaguers? That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. You want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Talking about Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert, if you missed it earlier, returning to the Eagles, restructuring his deal, takes a pay cut from $14 million to $10 million, can earn $1 million in incentives. But the important part, Dallas Goedert back with the Eagles for another season. Everybody very excited about that. So you want to get in and talk about Dallas Goedert, you're welcome to. And also talking about the Phillies. Phillies win last night. They get a big win in Tampa, 8-4 at the Yankee spring training facility, Steinbrenner Field, where Tampa Bay playing this year. But they hit a few home runs. A really good performance. Phillies have now won 7 of 9. They're 20-15 on the season. And our question to start the show, have we been too hard on the Phillies this year? I say yes. Hugh, who's just sitting at home on his couch, arms folded, grouchy face.
Hating.
No,
that's not me.
You're a hater.
No, I'm not hating. Well, I'm not hating. I just look at it for what it is, man. This fan base has been through a lot. From the time that I've gotten here, I noticed the trend. Bryce gets here, he gets off to a phenomenal start. The year before I got here, they were the surprise darlings in the World Series,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then it was time to take that next step and actually win the World Series. They've actually regressed. This fan base, before I got here, I remember, and I'm just going to say a name, the Odubel Herrera era.
Uh-oh.
Like, I remember being in Atlanta for that and how there was nobody coming to the bank and all of that. And so Bryce Harper gets here. The fan base gets rejuvenated. He becomes, for lack of a better way of saying it, the pandering chief, the panderer in chief. And you go on this trajectory where the city is excited about it. The Arizona series happens. We all know what happened there. Garrett Stubbs, which I think they should bring back because I think he's vibes off. That's just my
personal
opinion.
They don't need the CVO back. Leave him down at Lehigh Valley to rot down there.
That's just my personal opinion.
He blew that series.
And you have that, and then the wheels come off the wagon, and then you go to the Mets series, and that happens. And this year, you know, you get off. You know, everybody's a little bit of trepidation. You know, Alec Bohm, like, wasn't supposed to be here. Everybody was positioning themselves and set for the daycare to change. And they have gotten off to a good start. But fans are they're a little nervous about it right now. That's all. They're a little nervous, and they have a right to be.
Yeah, and that's fair. But I just look at the team. I don't think we can continue to view everything through the prism of last year. And I feel like that's what we've done a lot is, oh, well, what are you going to do in October? Nothing matters till then. The reality of it is there's nothing the Phillies can do now to make up for the playoffs last year. There's nothing they can do now to shore-proof, you know, make us feel like they are going to get it done in the postseason. And I just think we need to judge this team on what they're doing now. Like, we can't just view it through what they've done in the past. And I'll take the Dodgers, for example. The Dodgers were a team before last year who they choked every year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they were largely viewed. Is every year the Dodgers get to the playoffs, every year they would choke, they would let their fan base down. Last year they got it done. Like, it's a possibility for things to end differently this year. And the bottom line is, this is a different team. I know it's a lot of the same pieces, but it's a different team. It's a different year. And I feel like we truly need to put last year in the rear view and not look back at that, you know, after every game is like a referendum on the season.
You know what's funny, though, about the Dodgers? And they stuck with their manager for a long time. He's been there for a long time. And it took them a long time to break through. And I could just imagine that the Dodgers fans were feeling the same way. Now, it took them a while to do that, and it might be the same thing here, but that's why I'm not mad at the fan base for feeling the way that they feel, because we were right there, and it looked like they were about to turn the corner. The daycare looked like they were starting to grow up a little bit. Has not been the case. So this fan base is basically waiting to see what's going to happen in the postseason, because that's where the Eels, like, after the All-Star game and the postseason is where the problems start to rear their ugly heads for this team. We're in a position right now where fans are looking at, like, this is par for the course. It's the end of the season is what you're worried about.
And I understand why people would look at it that way, but I also think we need to look at the tangible facts we have in front of us right now.
Tangible facts. We've been in this situation before.
Yes, true. But they're 20-15. They've won 7 of 9. The offense is looking better. Bryce Harper's starting to heat up a little bit. The starting rotation's incredible. The bullpen looks a heck of a lot better than it did 10 days ago. So when you look at this team, if we're evaluating this team, what we've seen this year and over the last couple weeks, I think is more relevant to what happened last year in the playoffs.
Well, I would push back a little bit and say this. Remember Ranger?
Mm-hmm.
Last year? Looking like that Cy Young candidate that we thought he was, and how it kind of fell off for him last year. I think that's what people, and I'm just using him as an example, not trying to take a dump on Ranger, but you talk about Bryce early in the season. You talk about Schwarber. Schwarber's bat cooled off. And I think that's what people look at. This is nothing new as far as Phillies fans and what we've been through with this baseball team. And we know we're in a good spot right now. You're surging. You got 7 wins like we've been talking about. But we're not worried about that. We're worried about if you can sustain this. That's the biggest issue.
You've gotten a lot more grumpy in your old age, too.
What do you mean? Why does it always have to result to, like, personal stuff?
Well, you know how I do.
You're being a little grouchy about this.
There's just no way to live life. Like, the Phillies
That's not how I live. You know, I live by the seat of my pants every day.
Well, we know you mockingly took the pledge.
I didn't know I took the pledge and I meant it.
Mm. Well, then why are we doing this Wake Me Up in October thing? Well, like,
I am the voice of the people. When I get here on this radio
station.
Oh, yeah,
as always.
This is a winning position. Yeah.
Denouncing defense in Philadelphia is the voice of the people.
When I get on here and I think about where this fan base is, I feel like I'm speaking for the fan base. Because they're going to sit back. Like, they're still enjoying the games. They're still going to CBP. They're having fun. But they're waiting to see what happens after the All-Star break. Now, if it looks different, I'll say this. If this looks different after the All-Star break and it's surging, then people are going to feel different about it.
Well, this is the thing, Hugh. I'll apply this to the Eagles. Like, let's look at the Eagles. And last season, they're having a great season.
Mm-hmm.
We could have said, well, look at the Eagles. They're having a great year. But look at what happened last year. They're having a great year, and they fell apart, and they lost in the playoffs. We didn't view that team that way because it's a different season.
Kinda
it's a different way
on.
To
well, kind of did early on.
And they were wrong.
Right.
They were dead wrong.
And you know what's going to happen with this team? If they turn it around, people are going to be wrong about this one.
Well, yeah. But I don't know if there's like I wonder if there's anything the Phillies can do in the regular season to make people think that it's going to be different in October. I feel like a lot of people are just like, no. Like, they're stubborn in that way. So, people can feel how they want to feel. But I think they're wrong to underrate the Phillies this season. I think they're a little bit better than some people are giving them credit for. Like, I feel more vibes from the early months of last season, at least closer to. I'm not going to say it's the same thing because they were really, really good. But I feel more similar to those vibes than I do the end of last year and how things ended in October. And I'll say this. I think this might not be a conversation people are ready to have, and they might get mad at me for it. I think it's time to have a conversation about Dombrowski's offseason and that we underrated the offseason that he had.
What you mean?
I don't know about
what
that.
What do you mean?
I don't know if I'd go that okay. far.
I don't agree that he did nothing. I mean, they upgraded probably the weakest spot on the team, which is the fifth starter, and got Jesus Luzardo, who looks really good. He's at ace stuff. Austin Hayes was a turd last season, and granted, that was Dave Dombrowski's move, but in the offseason, I think Max Kepler, when he starts heating up, is a legitimate upgrade over Austin Hayes. Now, the bullpen thing, I understand. I will say nobody here was screaming they have to, like it's imperative to re-sign Carlos Estevez. The Hoffman thing, I think a lot of people were, and I was one of them, but it's hard to blame him when multiple teams, multiple organizations flagged him for a shoulder thing.
And
he did also blow up in October. Like, he was bad October with those Mets series.
But, well, a lot of the team, I would say, that signs of that were coming. Like, they were not that great in the second half of the year. That wasn't the case with Hoffman. I mean, Hoffman, I think you really can chalk it up. That was a bad week.
No.
He wasn't bad in the second half of the season.
I get that. But I think there's a few factors when it comes to why they didn't re-sign him. One could be, like, is he a guy I can trust in October. He definitely wasn't last October. And the shoulder thing seemed to be real. This wasn't just a Phillies exclusive thing where the Phillies were the team that said, I don't know. And everyone else is like, what are you talking about? Like, he was having trouble finding a landing spot. And here's the last thing I'll say about the Dombrowski thing in the offseason. Because I know we're mad about running it back. But he did sort of leave an out. And I think he left it so that they can give one last shot with this core of players. They didn't commit to long-term long-term deals to Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto. Harper and Trey are going to be here. That is what it is. Alec Bohm's not signed long-term. Ranger Suarez is not signed long-term. He allowed for this team to get one more crack at it with this core and still have flexibility, one, at the trade deadline, and two, next season, so where they can shake things up. Like, I think it would almost be worse if they had doubled down and really fully committed to this group, and then it turned out to not work out. So, like, I think he sort of middled it pretty well.
See, I look at it like this, Kyle. I think he lucked into this. I really do. I think he's lucked into gaining your favor, because there was talks about Alec Bohm not being here, and there were talks early on about potentially trying to get Juan Soto. The price tag was just too steep, though. So I think that what you're saying, I hear what you're saying, but I think that that was a byproduct of him whiffing on a lot of moves that they tried to make that didn't work out for him.
You know, and that could be true, but I think we ignore that reality when it comes to Howie Roseman as well. And I'm not, like, I'm a huge Howie guy.
No, I get that.
But, like, luck is a big part of success.
No, I mean,
and the moves you make in the offseason, sometimes it's the moves you don't make.
And I also understand that in baseball, because there are so many games, that the emotional state is a lot higher with every loss or every win with baseball. But I get what you're saying. It's just that when you look at it, when you look at what was said and then your actions in the offseason, they just didn't line up.
Sure.
Because you were talking about, like I said, Jermaine Dupri, money's not a thing. You were talking about throwing cash all over the place.
Yeah.
And when you had an opportunity to throw the cash, you put your hands in your pockets.
Yeah. Well, one more thing on Dombrowski, and we'll get back to the phones here. And I've been critical of Dave Dombrowski. I don't think he's done a great job since the Phillies lost the World Series in 2022 to the Astros. But fine, you take that approach in the offseason, fine. He better come through at the trade deadline this year.
Oh, I agree.
Because he has not come through the last 2 years. I mean, the last two trade deadlines
were bad.
Have been disastrous.
Objectively bad.
I mean,
like,
awful. He better come through with making some difference-making moves to improve this team. Because if you're going to take that approach of, okay, we'll make kind of conservative moves in the offseason, this is the year he needs to come through at the deadline.
And so I just think some are talking out of both sides of their mouth a little bit when it comes to Dave Dombrowski and what he did this offseason, because at the end of last year, it was like, a lot of people were saying, we're never going to win with this core group of players. Well, we didn't double down and commit to these guys long-term necessarily. JT, Schwarber, Ranger, I went down the list. But, like, I feel like we would feel a lot worse about this team if we had really doubled down, extended all these guys, added more, and then we were committed long-term, and then it didn't work out, and then we're like, well, crap, now we're really stuck.
Right.
Like, they're not really, really stuck. Somewhat stuck.
You've left yourself some flexibility, but you got to take advantage at the deadline this year for sure. 215-592-9494. This hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Matt in Deptford. What's up, Matt?
Matt.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
What's up, Matt?
I just want to talk about the Phillies. I agree with Q. I think we should be upset because we expected this fan base a long time ago. In 2022, they went to the World Series, so we expected for them to go back to the playoffs and try to go in the World Series again. But instead, they go backwards every year.
Well, I mean, that's the way it's been in the postseason, unfortunately, Matt, is they have gone backwards in the playoffs, and they've gotten better in the regular season. That's kind of been what's happened with this team.
But regular season doesn't do for us, because when the Eagles do better in the regular season, when they fall in the playoffs, we get mad. So why can't we expect from the same thing to the Phillies?
No, we can, Matt, but the question is, though, like, what can the Phillies do now to make up for that? There's nothing that they can do now to make up for that. So if we're just gonna look at everything through the prism of the playoffs, we're just going to sit here all year and say nothing matters until October?
You know what they could do better? They could have Dave Dombrowski can fix the bullpen and start adding pieces that really matters and fix the people that doesn't need to be here.
Yeah, I hear you, Matt, and appreciate the call.
You heard him. Get rid of people that don't need to be here. I don't know who that is. But.
Well, I think he may have been referring to like Jordan Romano, but even Romano, he's pitched a little better.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not totally sold on him yet, but it's been a little better than it was.
It feels like it's turning the corner. I like the fact that they've kind of been quiet about, you know, or not being as loud about what they want to do. It's a slow slog when it comes to baseball. No question about that.
Do we buy that he was tipping pitches early? Well, I guess I shouldn't say early because early he had velocity issues. But then when the velocity came back up and he was still getting rocked and he was like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, that was concerning. Yeah,
and then he had a few good outings after that. I think I heard somebody, I forget who it was, but they were saying there was a possibility he might have been tipping pitches.
Yes. Over the first month.
That would make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, I will say Romano, though, he's just a frustrating guy to watch. Yeah. He looks so nervous. Like, just, I just don't like guys on the mound who are that fidgety.
Yes.
Psycho-wise?
He does. Yeah. He looks crazy.
What do you think, Hugh? Does he have psycho-wise?
I have to look at that. I didn't notice that. That was not the first thing I know. I know he has a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Because that day when he was talking about he had good stuff, but he was getting rocked, he came back and was like, hey,
I'd advise him not to say that again.
I thought it was pretty honest.
It's a bad look to say.
It's one of those things
where you're supposed to have the answers.
Well, he was like, hey, I thought my stuff was good. Yeah. You know, it just like, they were hitting it.
Dude, the Marlins just scored 6 runs on you in 2/3 of an inning.
The best was Joe was like, guess who else thought your stuff was good?
Yeah. The hitters. Yeah, the hitters loved what you were throwing.
So, I don't know if you're aware of this, TK, but Joe, Hugh, and I have put Jordan Romano in Phillies jail.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so he's got,
I thought he was on. Wait, man! I thought he was on work release.
Is he on parole now?
Well, no, we're considering it. He's still doing his time, but for now,
he wasn't out on work release.
Who else is in jail? Just Romano,
Marsh,
right now?
Him, and Marsh.
Oh, Marsh is in there.
Yes.
How's he doing down in AAA?
He's back up.
He's been up here for a few games.
No, you know what? I was thinking about your boy, Garrett.
Oh, Garrett Stubbs.
When he was down there with Garrett.
You gotta let him go, man.
People gotta let go of Stubbs, man. I mean, this guy. I'll never get over Garrett.
We had considered putting out a warrant for Aaron Nola, but he's in good behavior right now. Yep, that's right.
From Aaron Nola of late.
For now.
This segment brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, grab your crew, head over to McGurk's. All their locations have a great atmosphere and awesome game day menu. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Pop Pop in South Carolina. What's up, Pop Pop?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, it's good afternoon now, but... a couple things.
Shot fired.
I'm very grateful that Dallas is going to be with the Eagles another season. Hopefully, he's just a big part, and the stiff arm will live on forever. You know that one angry run he had.
Yeah, that was a huge play in that game.
So hopefully he can stay on the field, not succumb to those nagging injuries that have kept him off the field, and maybe he has a healthy year and he can get another couple years with the Eagles, because I love his play. All right, so let's get back to the problem. If you remember when you were kids, when we were kids, I just remember through my own kids, the term was called daddy ball, and that means the kid whose father was the coach, he always played shortstop. That kid didn't belong playing shortstop, but his father put him in the position. That is what Trey Turner looks like. It looks like the manager is his father.
Yeah, I mean, Pop, I think this is a bigger discussion than Rob Thompson. Like, this is something that organizationally they'd have to move Trey Turner. I agree with you. I think it's kind of ridiculous that the Phillies didn't seriously examine this during the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Turner should be moved off shortstop. The reality, though, is I just don't think that's happening this season.
But here's a talking point, and this should be brought to Phillies management. Robin Yount played shortstop for the Milwaukee Bucks, and he could actually play the position, Bruce, unlike Trey Turner. Now, he's in the Hall of Fame, I believe, but what they did was, as he got older, they moved him to center field. So if somebody has to give the Phillies the case study on Robin Yount because of what happened in his career and use it as something to motivate Trey Turner to move to center field.
Maybe you got a point there, Pop. Appreciate the call. What do you think about using Robin Yount in that story?
Yeah, somebody needs to bring up Robin Yount to the Phillies.
Yeah. You say it was a Brewer? Was he a Brewer?
Yeah, Brewer. He said Milwaukee Buck, yeah, but he meant a Brewer.
I think that, you know, Scott Fransky said something last week because we were talking about how he had a horrible error out there when he was out there, and Scott said he knows for a fact that he's been working really hard. I think that's why he's still there. Because even though we look at it as fans and say, you know, he didn't look that great, they feel like he's really putting forth a better effort than he has in the past to be a better shortstop. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that he works hard. It's just like there's not been enough improvement there, you know? And I do think that's an area where the Phillies messed up this offseason. Mm-hmm. Is why can't you flip Bryson Stott and Trey Turner? Like, I get he's making $300 million. Who cares? Like Trey Turner should do what's in the best interest of the team.
He doesn't want to do that. I mean, that's the...
Screw him. Yeah. Name on the front, not the name on the back. Then you listen to Bryce.
I knew that was about to happen.
How about that?
I was going to jump on it.
I like that response by Kyle.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's the response. But, I mean, the reality is that's not what he wants to do.
But what's he going to do? He's here for 9 more years.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, whatever it is,
suck it up,
Sulk.
Whatever it is that he's going to do or how he's going to handle it, they are not prepared to deal with it.
Well, he should sack up and go to the outfield. What he should do.
That's the new saying, sack up.
Well,
Kyle's analysis in the last 30 seconds has been incredible. Screw him and sack up.
No,
that should be the
Kyle's the best.
The mentality of every team in the city.
Kyle's the best. Yeah. Like. I know that's the mindset of Philadelphia. You probably didn't want this to go to air, but when Kyle was driving in this morning, he said somebody tried to get in front of him.
Oh, dude, yeah.
asked him why.
Yeah. No.
Kyle, you're an angry driver. You strike me as a very angry driver.
But he wasn't angry.
I was simple.
Like, why?
I actually tried to level with him this time, so I'll explain it. I was driving through the city. And somebody had tried to do that. Like, I was in traffic. I was behind a good amount of cars. It was a long line. And somebody tried to do the classic move where they just, like, snake everybody and go in front of the line and then get out in front and blow through the light. Now, the issue was they ended up getting stopped behind a parked car that was next to me. So they started, like, signaling to me. And I'm like, oh, here we go. And I, like, you know, they were trying to talk to me. And I rolled down the window. Like, can I get in front of you? And I'm like, why? And they're like, I'm stuck. And I was like, yeah, why'd you pull around? And she's like, I'm in a rush. And I'm like, yeah, we're all in a rush. And then she's like, I kind of stumped her for a second. I was like, just go.
Now, is this a normal thing for you to get in these kind of verbal engagements?
No, this was the first time I actually, like, made somebody explain to me and, like, it tried to. I don't know if I believe that. No, I usually just yell to myself.
The way he told the story, I believe it because it was just like, why? Like, why do you want to get in front of me? Like, obviously, for obvious reasons. But when he
I wanted them to admit that they were trying to screw everybody else.
Yeah.
And once they did, I was like, okay, you know, I'll let you go ahead. Well, but usually I'm just, I think I've caught myself screaming at the top of my lungs, like, by myself. Yeah. And I was like, I should probably chill.
I could envision being, like, stuck on 76 and looking at the car next to me, and it's Kyle just, like, punching his steering wheel and yelling.
I don't yell at people as much as I just scream to myself.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I do scream. I only know that because I do it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to do a better job.
That lady pissed me off, though. Yeah. Like, why? Like,
why?
Tell me why you're in this predicament right now.
That's... That's good. Well done, Kyle. Way to take the high road. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Where are you at with the Phillies right now? I think fans are being too hard on them. You can react to Dallas Goedert coming back for another season as well. News broke earlier in the show, coming back on a restructured deal to the Eagles. And when we come back, want to react to something that happened in the NBA last night and an interesting trade proposal for the Sixers. That's coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.